Hi, everybody. This is Joe Hu. Welcome to my first show here at BBS Radio. Joe is a voice deaf direct sensor. That's what I am. In other words, what that means is when I hear a person's voice, I start to see things behind my eyes. I've been doing it ever since I was a little boy. It runs on both sides of my family. You know, everybody has intuition. You know, everybody has gut feelings, intuition, whatever you want to call it, second guess. You know, you hear the expressions all the time. I went by my gut feeling. I thought so. I mean, how many times have you thought about someone else when the phone rings and it was the person you were thinking about? If it happens once a year, it's probably, you know, coincidence, but it happens far too often to far too many people. So what does that tell you? Okay? Let's say you're in a group of people, you're in a party, let's say, and there's people that you don't know, but for some reason you might be attracted to someone, not because of their looks or their appeal, but something draws you to that person. You know, and then you start a conversation and become friends. Or at that same party, there's someone that repels you, that you feel repelled by. Not because of how they look or their demeanor, just something you're feeling. We've all had those experiences. So, you have to understand, as human beings, we have a lot of gifts. You know, we're spiritual beings right now, trying to understand what it's like to be human. And it's not easy. This earth plane is, I call it a bottleneck planet. It's very difficult to get through. But I think the people that come here, the souls that come here, I consider mighty spiritual beings. And I'm not the only one who thinks that. Also, Daniel Brinkley, author of Saved by the Light, he is also a believer of that, too. So, basically, intuition is a feeling that we have, and it's always going to be spontaneous. You know, it's always going to be your first impression. You know, how many times you're supposed to make a decision, and you have a feeling of what you should do, you know, you have this feeling come through, like, but you use your brain power, you know, and you find out later that the one you felt in the first place was the right one. And how many times you told yourself, geez, I knew that. I thought so. Well, if you knew it and you thought it, why didn't you do it? You know why? Because we're always taught that if we can't feel it, taste it, smell it, or touch it, it's not real. Consider early man. Consider our forefathers. Consider the settlers of the United States. When they came to this country, besides being a hard life, you know, horse and wagon and wagon trains, but what did they do in the evening hours? Did they sit around playing video games? Did they watch television? You know, did they go shopping? What did they do? They sat around and communed. They talked to each other. They imagined. They told stories. Let's go back even earlier than that. Early man. What did they have better to do? Obviously, survival was probably the most predominating force in their life. But at the times in the evening, when they huddled together, you know, and felt safe in their caves or what have you, what were these people thinking? They were contemplating. They were using their imagination. They were using a part of the mind that's gone to sleep over the years. I mean, think in the course of your day, how many times that you're forced to get all this information, radio, television, cell phones, advertising, commercialism, all the things that occupy your time. All the things that occupy your time, and that part of your brain kind of went to sleep. It's not dead, but it went to sleep. Your intuitive side has gone to sleep, you know. So everybody has intuition. You cannot teach anyone to be intuitive or psychic. You can't do that. But you can teach people how to bring out the abilities they have. And the interesting concept about that is, you know, the first thing you have to tell someone or teach someone is how to unlearn certain concepts that they've had their whole lives. I mean, can you picture if you sat in your house and you turned your power breaker off for 24 hours, no electricity. What is it, about 2 hours later where you start to go nuts? 3 hours, 10 hours, no TV, no phone, no nothing? In today's society, without these conveniences, we'd feel lost. And that, my friends, is probably the reason why, in fact, one of the major reasons why, that our intuition is kind of taking a back burner. And by the way, your intuition, your feelings that you have intuitively always are from the right side of the brain. That's your emotional response. You know, psychic ability is an emotional response. It works on the same side of the brain. So anytime you're in the heightened state of emotion, your ability to perceive goes up accordingly. Whatever that emotion is, anger, frustration, sadness, happiness, doesn't matter. But when it's heightened beyond, let's say, the normal range, your ability to perceive comes up accordingly. Now, I can tell you a very simple thing you can do to help you bring out the abilities you have. Number one, we've all heard, well, at least most of us have, or at least some of us have, we've heard some old-time radio shows, you know, The Shadow, or whatever they are, it doesn't matter. You can go to any record store, even a bookstore. I'm sure Borders Books or one of the large major bookstores have a section of CDs, and they also have a little section of old-time radio. Just buy yourself one CD of old-time radio. I don't care what the title is. That's not the important part. bring it home, okay, put it on your CD player or your cassette if you bought a cassette. You turn the lights, first of all, take the phone off the hook, okay, and go in a room in your house where you have no disturbances. And if you have kids, well, you have to wait till they're asleep at night, you know, and I hope you're not too exhausted by that time. But if you put on some headphones or turn it down low, close your eyes, and listen to this old-time radio show, you'll find a certain area of your mind that's beginning to work that you haven't used in years. And it's your imaginary side of the brain. It's your imagination starts coming up. And you get into that area, and during that visualization starts to increase. And you pretty soon are enveloped in something that you haven't used for years. Oh, maybe limited, but not to the depth that you can gain. That's probably one of the simplest exercises you can do. So we all have the ability. You know, but some people are, you know, better at it than others. I mean, you know, they're better doctors, better lawyers, you know. It's up to you to find the good ones out there. I mean, what do you call a guy who goes through medical school with a D average? You call him doctor, don't you? Well, it's up to you to find the good ones. And I've been doing this my entire life. It's on both sides of my family. Let me tell you a little bit of my background, okay? I grew up in the Chicago area. Actually, I grew up in the city of Chicago in a little Italian neighborhood in Chicago called the Taylor Street area. And if we have anybody out there who is from Chicago or who knows about Chicago, knows that area. My grandpa came here, and he fought in World War One. He was like 16 when he got here, and, you know, he went in the military, and he fought in World War One. He was infantry. And then after the war, and it took about 5 years after the war, by the way, before they gave him permission to bring, you know, the rest of his family over. So my mom came here from Italy when she was 17 years old. And my mom met my dad, who was also from Italy, but she met him in America. She did not meet him in Italy. As a little boy, oh, I would say about five, I can remember back at 5 years old, my little friends, if they were hurting, I knew why they were hurting. And if they cried, I cried with them. And I could never understand why. And I remember asking my mom, I said, why can I see the things that I see? And she would look at me and say, well, you know, it's on our family does that, but don't tell people. They'll make fun of us. Don't, you know, that's something you keep to yourself. And all through the years, I've always had the ability. Now, interestingly enough, is my mom has it, my mother's mother has it, had it when she passed away. And on my dad's side, my father's brother was very strong. So for some reason, you know, it runs in my family, and I also have it very strong. I have a brother and sister, and neither one of them possess the strength that I have. Okay, they have the normal intuition that we all have, second guess, you know, hunches, which is all part of this. But in the course of my life, I mean, in fact, in high school, they used to call me Joe the Medium. I don't know why, but that's what they called me. Kids would come up and ask me questions, and I'd tell them the answer, and they will say, how do you know that? I says, I just see it. And they say, where do you see it? And I see it behind my eyes. So I go, well, that's kind of weird. Well, anyway, after high school, I went to high school I think we were about in fifth grade. My mom and dad moved out of the city. You know, they wanted to get us more in the suburban area figured it would be easier for us or better life or whatever. And we moved out to a suburb not too far from the city. And I remember going to high school. And after I got out of high school, I went to the American Conservatory of Music and I studied music. Another thing I did was sing all my life. I mean, I studied opera. I never wanted to be an opera singer, obviously, but, you know, studied music. So I have a degree in music. I also went to college, and I also have a degree in robotics engineering. So I do have educational background. Believe it or not, at one point, I worked for the Defense Department and subcontracted to the Defense Department on top-secret military projects, which goes against everything I believed in because I'm very much a lover of people. Well, to make a long story short, I'm going to tell you an interesting scenario on how I ever got in the radio at all in the first place. It was way back in 1984. Yes, it was 84. I was at work, and I fell off a brand-new 10-foot ladder, and I herniated 3 discs in my back. Bingo, bam, boom, boom, okay? I wound up in the hospital, aggravated as heck, and right away they're talking about surgery, and I didn't want surgery. No, 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 don't cut on my back. So they said, well, we're going to put you in a pain clinic. So they took me in Chicago after a hospital, put me in a pain clinic, so every day I went to this therapy to kind of build up the muscles around your back. And I was feeling sorry for myself one night, and I was laying in bed listening to the radio, and there was a disc jockey on the radio station, it was WLS in Chicago, and he says, if we have any street psychics out there who could tell me what I lost, I will give you free tickets to see the group Genesis. And by the way, I love Genesis. So I said, aha. So I called in from my hospital room, and I actually got through because this was like 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, when you couldn't sleep, you can't sleep at night. Well, that was one of those nights. And the producer said, what did he lose? And I said, well, there's a couple things. Number one, his sunglasses. And he said, well, he always loses those. He talks about those. He was ready to hang up. I said, well, I've never heard him before. I said, the only other thing, he never really lost it. And he goes, what are you talking about? I said, he swallowed a cap in his tooth. It was a temporary cap, or a gold cap that he swallowed in his, and, you know, he swallowed it. And he says, how do you know that? I said, because I see it when he talks. And he says, who is this? And I said, Joe. And he said, Joe who? And I said, absolutely. So the disc jockey, his name was Chuck. Chuck Britton was his name, came on the air. And he said, who is this? And I said, Joe who? And he says, really? He said, and he kind of thought that I knew him or he knew me. I says, no, I've never met you. So he says, can you come down to the studio and get your tickets, you know? And I says, yeah. I said, but it wouldn't be till about next week because I'm getting released from this pain clinic, you know, in like about 4 or 5 days. He said, fine, no problem. So when I got out of the hospital, I traveled down to downtown Chicago, and I went to the studio. And this is because his shift was on midnight, so I went down there. I think I got there about 1 o'clock in the morning, and we met face-to-face, and he looked at me, you know, and I looked at him, and he says, well, how do you know these things? How did you know that? Was it just a lucky guess? I said, no, because when you started talking about it, I started to see behind my eyes that you were in the theater watching a movie, and you were eating some nuts or popcorn, and that's when you lost the cap. That's when he came looking, you swallowed it. And he even got more amazed because that's exactly what had happened. So he asked me if I would take some phone calls, and I said, sure. So people called in, and I have to hear a person speak. So I would say, tell me a little bit about yourself, and they were telling me too much. I'd say, no, stop. And Chuck said, well, what's your favorite color? You know, when the caller would call in, and they'd hem and haw. So then, you know, we couldn't ask them. One other guy said, well, ask them what they're wearing. I said, no, that's not a good idea. So the one producer says, why don't you just ask them the month of their birth? Because everybody should know their birth month. And I said, well, isn't that astrology? He says, no, astrology, you have to have the birthday and where you're born. I says, fine. So when the person would call in, I want to hear just their first name and just the month of their birth. Those are two things they can tell me that it lets me hear their voice. Now, when you're not on the air, of course you're going to have somebody to recite their address or their phone number, you know, something like that. But when you're on the air and you're, you know, dealing in the public, those are the questions you can't ask. So I took calls, and it was the most amazing thing, because from that point on, my life changed. It changed. It was as though something said, Joe, this is what you're supposed to do. So I was, that one show that I did, when I picked up my tickets, landed me, they asked me if I'd come back once a week for a year, and they gave me a year contract, and, you know, every Thursday evening at 1 o'clock in the morning, I would talk to people. And so it was kind of funny. From there, it kind of snowballed. I'm sure we all know about Morton Downey Jr. He had that crazy talk show. I'm sure a lot of people know who he is. Well, I don't know if you know or aware of this enough, but he had a radio show in Chicago. And he had heard about me. His producers had heard about me. And he had called up and said, can you come on our show? And I said, fine, yeah, because I was not really under a tight contract with the other radio station. It was kind of like a, you know, like once a week thing for a couple hours. So I remember walking in. This is true. I walked into the studio. And the people said, now remember, Mort never has anybody on more than 15 minutes, you know, and I said, fine, I have no problem with that. So I said, okay. So I remember walking into a room that was smoke-filled because Morton Downey smoked a lot of cigarettes. And back then you were able to smoke in radio stations, and today you cannot, obviously. I can't smoke in a lot of places. But so I remember meeting him. He looked at me, and he says, you have a kind face. Are you a kind person? I go, yeah, I think so. So he brought me on as a guest. And instead of keeping me on 15 minutes, he kept me on for an hour and a half. I took calls from everybody, and people were just, you know, and this was back, now this was in 1985, so we're going back a ways. And everybody was really happy with it, and one of the callers said, well, why don't you have him read you, Mort? And he says, okay, Joe, what can you tell me about me? And I proceeded to tell him that he was a very interesting guy, you know, he went to a beat of a different drummer, and I said within 6 months he'd be leaving Chicago Radio, going to New York to do a talk show. And he looked at me like I was insane. And he started laughing. He said, there's nothing like Chicago. Chicago's the greatest city. Well, he had to say that. He was under contract to the station. But he said, if that ever happens, Joe, I will have you on my show. And I said, thank you. So, you know, I said goodbye to the audience, and then I left. Well, I think it was about 5 months after that, I got this frantic call from Morton Downey Jr. that they did offer him a job in New York, and he took it. And the rest is history. So, you know, it's interesting how things work. Now, let me tell you how I got the name Joe Who. Joe Who is not my real name. Joe is my real first name. Who is not my last name. My mom and dad had a little textile business. They made lampshades. Now, not, you know, these really fancy lampshades. And there was a little Polish lady that my mom would bring some work to. So I got to be friends with her son, Marty. Now, Marty's brother's name was Joe. Marty's dad's name was Joe. Marty's cousin, who lived next door to him, was named Joe. So right there's three Joes, and of course he got to know me, so I got to be another Joe. So one time, went over to his house, and he says, "Hey, Ma, Joe's coming over for supper." And she said, "Joe who?" And he said, "Yeah." And the name stuck with me ever since. So I've had that name since I was a kid, the Joe Who name, and it kind of stuck. So that's a little bit of history about who Joe Who is. Now, if you'd like to see what I do and how I do it, we have calling numbers for you. If you're in the United States, we have a toll-free number, which is 877-876-5227. Again, that's 877-876-5227. And in Canada, for our Canadian friends, the toll-free number is 888-810-8322. Again, the Canadians, 888-810-8322. Okay, so that's a little bit of history about Joe Who. Now, let's get back a little bit to the ability to perceive and the energy that we emanate. Because we're spiritual beings, to understand what it's like to be human. This has nothing to do with religion, by the way. You know, religion is your religion. Your spirituality is something that's beyond that. I mean, gosh, there's all kinds of religions, but there's only one center, isn't there? You know, I don't care what the religious part of you is. That's what makes, you know, everybody part of their own religion. You have many, many different religions, but there's only one God or one center. You know, so understand that. And also understand that religion is man-made. Your faith is internal and eternal. So, you know, how many people do you know with a hell of a lot of religion and no faith? Your faith is what rules you. So, we're all spiritual beings, and we all have a lot of gifts that have been bestowed upon us. And by the way, if there's other people out there, and I'm sure there's many other people out there who are intuitive, and sometimes you get some of these people that are kind of zealous religious, and they say that, well, you're doing the bad work of the devil. Well, just tell them to read 1 Corinthians 12-14. Now, I think we have a caller on the line. Hello?
Good evening, Joe. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. May I have your first name, please?
Yes, it's Anne.
And just the month of your birth, Anne.
October.
Okay. Now, see, when you said those two things to me, I'm starting to see things behind my eyes. In fact, if you can see my face, my eyes dart back and forth. And the first time I ever saw that or ever realized it was when I did a TV show. But, and I classify people as either younger souls and older souls. And what that means is how we look at life and how, you know, how long you've been around. You're very definitely an older soul. You're very creative. You're very emotional. And you're charismatic. People are attracted to you. It's almost like you should have been a great psychologist because you problem solve for a lot of people.
Yes.
You ever notice that, how people are attracted to you? And
yes.
Why do you think that is? It's the energy that you emanate. Okay? And so, and by the way, let me give you a real quick little thumbnail sketch of over the years how I see old souls, okay? You know, old souls might not remember a name, but will sure as heck never forget a face. Sometimes we're not the most graceful people in the world, and old souls can't just do one thing. What excites you today can bore you tomorrow. So old souls have a lot of different things they do, and there's reasons for this. All right, as far as you don't remember names, you know, the people you know now you've known before. Souls tend to stay together just like friends do. So you know the person, so the names kind of become a moot point after a while. And the fact that you're an old soul, you've been around so many times, it's hard to find new things. You know, you ever hear the expression, jack of all trades, master of none? But the most important thing about old souls are they're the world sponges. They absorb. Old souls are very in tune to people, they're very in tune to intuition, they're very in tune to animals, they're in tune to all the creative and the spiritual things that people emanate. Also younger souls are nowhere near as much as an older soul. So on a scale of 1 to 10, your creative, emotional, intuitive side is 1 to 10, your analytical side goes from 4 to 7. Okay?
Yes.
And right now you're packing and unpacking boxes, and when I see someone doing that, that's a form of transition. So you're in transition right now. Okay?
Yes.
There's some interesting changes for you. Now, do you have a question for me?
I'd rather let you answer the question that's in my mind. I think it would be better.
Okay. Your childhood was different. And I have to tell you, in some ways, you grew up quicker than other kids. You had a lot of responsibilities. Some of them that weren't your own, but you kind of, you know, took a lot of those on. And you're coming in time of your life right now, and you've worked on this for quite a while, to releasing some of the negativity that's been around you from years ago. And there was a time in your life, probably 12 years ago, I would call you an emotional bag lady, you know, holding on all these things. And it took quite a bit of work to release all those things.
Yes.
Okay? And you're trying to make a decision now And it's really funny because you can go to the left, or you can go to the right, or you can go through the middle. And what that's saying is, either I can leave and do what I need to do, I can stay and always wonder if I'll do it, or I can stay and do it anyway.
Yes.
Okay, that's how I see it. Well, you're going to leave and do it. That's what you're going to do. Okay? And by the way, when a friend is a friend of yours, you're a friend for life.
You know,
your friends are very important to you.
Yes.
And so you have all these amazing qualities. And you know, I can tell you something else, too. I don't know if other people have told you this. You've got a remarkable ability because your imagination. You need to write, and you need to write something that's not only going to, you know, that would obviously be good for people to read, but it would also be good for you to get it out.
Yes, I understand, and I do it on a daily basis.
Good. Good. Now, let me ask you something. Can I ask you where are you calling from?
Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Okay, where are you from originally?
Maryland.
Okay, I thought so. Because it's interesting. It was like, it's funny, your life has had three, not necessarily events, but three phases, okay? And right now, you have the most opportunity and freedoms available to you, but it's almost like something's pulling your shirt tails. You got to break that loose.
But I can't find the mechanism to break it loose. I'm being blocked.
I know you're being blocked, but I remember what I said about the emotional issues that happened back then?
Yes.
I think some of those memories are still holding you back. You want to know, this is an absolute biological truth. 90% of what a human being knows, we know by the time we're 12 years old.
Right.
So there's things that are inside you that are yours, and things that are inside you that are not. And over the years, you've been working on getting rid of things that weren't yours and keeping the things that are. But, they, you know, and the one little thing that's holding you back, is it fear? A little bit. But I think it's the fact that, you know, you're thinking, is it going to be successful? And can I handle it? Can I do it? Can it survive? Well, yes, you can. And the reason why I'm telling you that is you have a lot more strength in you than you give yourself credit for. And you ever hear the expression, be careful, you might get what you ask for?
Yes.
The universe only knows one thing. Yes. If you're worried about not succeeding, you won't succeed. You know, by worry about something happening, people don't realize that they set up the energy to possibly even bring that to them.
I understand that, but I don't believe I'm doing this. And
Wait a minute. You think it's somebody else doing this?
No.
Okay.
No. I believe that there's some kind of spiritual issue going on. I have been immensely successful, but for the past 20 years, it's nothing but dead walls.
You have to break out of this. And when you just said that, there is an influence around you. There is an influence.
Then what do I do?
Wow. You know what? Can I give you my phone number? Can you call me sometime after the show?
Yes.
And it's not, I mean, I there's something that I want to tell you that I think are remarkably personal for you.
I'm ready, Joe.
Okay. My phone number is area code 815.
Yes.
498.
Yes.
9065.
Okay. 498-9065, area code 815.
Yes, we're outside of Illinois.
Okay.
I'm not too far from O'Hare Field.
It doesn't make any difference where you are.
Okay. By the way, let me ask you something. Did you just go to the eye doctor?
I need to.
Yes, you do.
I did several months ago, and I need reading glasses, but because of the blockage, the universe only gives me to the penny the money that I need, not one penny more.
Okay, well, we can change that.
Okay.
I mean, you know what's funny is when I tell you how, it can be very easy.
It's so easy that I'm missing it. And
that's
I can
exactly
help
right.
everyone else but myself. Miracles
right.
all the time, nothing for myself.
You know what? You can tell somebody something till they're blue in the face. Doesn't mean anything. But if I can make you see it yourself, then you'll understand.
Bravo.
Okay?
Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening.
Bye-bye.
You know, the most amazing thing is we're all spiritual beings. As my last caller is a remarkable person, she's got she said the universe gives her to the penny what she needs. Well, the universe can actually give her more abundance than she needs. But she's the type of person that doesn't necessarily require it, because if she does, it'll be there for her. Remember, the universe only knows one thing, and that's yes. So if you worry about something happening or something going to go wrong, the universe is going to say yes. You know, that's why I always tell people, remember the expression, be careful, you might get what you ask for. And that's kind of double-sided. You know, let's say there's a person you want to bring into your life. Believe it or not, you can do it. We all have the energy to do it. Okay? And let's say once that person comes into your life, you're going, oh gosh, boy, did I make a mistake. I would like to kind of end this. Well, bringing something to you is 10 times easier than getting rid of it once you have it. So be very sure when you do that. Be very, very sure. Because as spiritual entities, we have a lot of energy. And by the way, before the call, I was saying that, you know, sometimes there are people out there in religious, different religious groups that say that intuitive is the work of the devil and it's the work of Satan. Oh, give me a break. I'm tired of that stuff. You know, just read 1 Corinthians 12-14. The gifts that the center gave, God gave man. Some the gift of compassion, the gift of knowledge, the gift of prophecy. You know, all the gifts that are given to you by the center. It's what you do with them. You know, and the good Lord gave us the greatest gift of all. Believe it or not, the good Lord stepped aside for your free will. He doesn't want puppets coming to him. He wants you to learn. You know, you set up the game board. You know, we have another call. The good Lord gives everybody a lesson. Everybody has their own individual lesson. And the most amazing thing is, you know, no intuitive can tell you what that lesson is. Maybe little parts, but that's between you and the center. And you're given all the tools to get through your lesson. But because free will reigns, you go, geez, I never thought about that happening. God, no, I never figured that out. So it's not an easy journey. Hi, caller. You're on with Joe Who.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Michael.
And Michael, just the month of your birth?
June.
And where are you calling from?
Melbourne Village.
Okay.
Florida.
Okay. Michael, you know, you're a person that I would also see, not necessarily an older soul, but a little bit of a younger soul. And what that means is you're a very independent person. As far as career, you're the kind of guy that needs to have your own career, be your own boss or supervisor, or have your own business. And the reason being is that younger souls are people that are very, very good at taking care of things. They don't have a lot of loose ends. And you're good at that. Well, you're supposed to be good at that. I can't say you're good at it, Michael, because your emotions run very high for some reason. And when younger souls make things personal, they'll waver and have problems. The one issue that's strongest for you that you have to be careful of is that you can be fooled with affairs of the heart.
No, I have been, yes.
Yeah, I know you have, okay? And you're not the kind of guy that needs a lot of people around to be happy. If you've got one or two good friends, you're fine. Your quiet time is important to you. But, you know, your emotions are running very, very high. And you've internalized, I think you've internalized way too much stress. Because I see your system as being acidic.
Well, yeah, I could probably have.
Yeah.
I'm autistic and I have Asperger's syndrome. And yes, friends are important to me, but I find it hard to relate to people.
Yeah, I know. That's what I say. If you've got one or two good friends, you're fine. And why do you think your biggest problem is relating to people?
I don't know. I think it has to do with the autism and the fact that I don't get onto the same wavelength with them. And part of that is because I have a golden aura.
Okay. But as far as autism, is that what you said, autism?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's funny. If you have autism, you have a very light case because you're a very in-depth person.
Well, yeah, actually, it's Asperger's syndrome. And Asperger's,
okay.
So there are several forms of autism. One of them is the one that's external that acts out all the time.
Right.
The other is one that's internal.
Yes.
It's much more passive.
Right.
And then Asperger's syndrome is like the genius syndrome or the idiot savant.
Yes.
And so they're great at puzzle solving, and they don't act out, and they can get confused, but they still don't relate to people.
Yeah, I understand that, okay? But I think you could relate to people better. I really think you can. I think because of as a child and things with you as a kid, you know, you became a selective loner, whether that was parents or otherwise, you know, isn't the issue. You know, you've got to try to get yourself out of that little syndrome. I mean, not the syndrome that you have, but out of the little shell of that. And sometimes, you know, meeting in groups helps that. And the funny thing about you, though, is you're a remarkably deep thinker. And is that part of the syndrome?
The what?
That you're a deep thinker.
Yes, I'm a very deep thinker.
Yes, is that part of the syndrome?
I'm a Gemini, Virgo.
Okay.
And,
I really don't know about astrology.
There's some higher influences in there, so.
Yeah, Mike, I really don't know about astrology.
Think a lot. I think very deeply.
Okay, I know you think deeply. I mean, I know that. I don't know much about astrology. I really don't.
Okay.
I know that because of who you are, you know, you've got a lot of ability. I think more so than you give yourself credit to, by the way.
Yeah, I just haven't been able to use them very well. I know I have lots of abilities.
Yes, a lot. I think your hardest time is scheduling your time.
My hardest time is getting people to actually, like, I'm an energy healer and I've helped lots of people.
Uh-huh.
And it's like going in the wind. other energy healers that have had the same problem.
Yeah, that's true. If you're doing energy work, you know, you have to understand, if you're doing energy work with people, you have to protect yourself also, because when people do energy work and you're helping someone who has a lot of negative energy around them, you're going to absorb it. And at the end of every day or even every session, you have to release that negative energy that's built up in you.
Well, yeah, actually, I'm very careful about that because I don't do touch healing for that reason.
Okay.
Because if I do touch healing, I'll absorb it.
You can absorb
the negative influence on me, either send it the golden violet light or I send it divine judgment.
Right. But understand, you can still absorb it.
I don't want to release it to the environment. I don't want to take it into myself.
Unfortunately, even if you don't do touch, you can. Okay? It happens inadvertently. You don't have to be touching
That's one of the reasons I don't teach it to many people. Most people absorb a whole lot if you do it.
Right. You know,
it
takes a special person.
Because of the fact they just bring stuff into themselves.
Right. It takes a special person to be able to do energy healing and know how to deal with it.
Right.
You know, a lot of people say, I can do it. I'll try it. They work on it. But, people have to understand that there are consequences to it, that you have to be prepared. You have to have knowledge of what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've taught several people how to use the technique, and I told them, only use it on yourself. Never use it on anybody else. They never listened, and they got in trouble.
Yes. Well, who listens today?
I pulled something out of you. I put it in your hand, and I asked you to get rid of it. And instead, you absorbed it. You said you felt it moving up your arm.
Why don't you put together a little seminar so you can actually teach people to do this? But you have to understand, you're going to have to use your own intuition to show people.
I'm trying to get an internet site up about it.
I beg your pardon?
I'm trying to get an internet set up about it.
Okay.
Site up about it.
Okay.
Because of the fact that, actually, I'm mainly done with the internet site, but I want to get a little bit more done before I actually post it. I have something up there, but it's really minimal and not very good.
Okay, well, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll give you... I have a website, which is johu.com. It's very easy.
Okay, hold on 1 second.
Pardon me?
To get a pen and piece of paper, which
yeah.
are close at hand, but not
okay.
immediately available. It's like a 3 second operation to get them. Okay. Joe.
It's J-O-E-W-H-O.
Okay, Joe.
.com.
And is that spelled who?
Yes.
Who is that?
Yes, it's all one word, J-O-E-W-H-O.com.
.com, okay.
Yep.
That in the early cases.
Right, and that's my website. And look around in there. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of things to see in there. You know, and anyone who is welcome to look at that.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, actually,
and the email address, there's even a link that you can email me, and I'll answer you.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, I'll talk to you. I'll email you later.
All right, let me ask you a question. About how tall are you?
I'm 5'9".
Okay. I see something. I don't know what it is. It seems to be in your lower back that somehow bothers your leg a little bit once in a while. Did you take a fall or something?
Actually, that's one of the characteristics of autism.
Okay.
Your backbone tends to get all frozen up, and my lower backbone is extremely stiff.
Okay. Okay.
And it has a great, I've been doing a lot of Taoist internal exercises to get rid of it. But on the other hand, I didn't find out about a lot of this stuff until I was over 50. So therefore, it took me a long time to get to it. I was pretty well ingrown by then.
Yeah, hey, remember, age is a frame of mind. If you think old, you get old. Let me tell people I'm too old.
I know, especially when Kundalini's arisen on you.
Because, all right, my friend.
Kundalini surfing gives you rebirth, but on the other hand, it's also Madam Cowley the Destroyer, so it's a two-headed servant.
All right, you take care. Thank you for the call.
You have a good day.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, I thank the people that called in. It's great to be able to do the show here on BBS Radio. Mr. Donald Newsom, the president, had contacted me, and he's quite a remarkable man, and he's providing a great service for people. You know, mainstream media, and I call it mainstream media because that's what it is. You know, I mean, most people get their information about, the news and the events are, 15, 20 minutes of 10 o'clock news. But we have to do research on our own. We have to start doing our own research to find out what's really going on. You know, and that has nothing to do with whether you're conservative or you're liberal. Oh, I don't care. It's us. We're people. You know, we're all part of the same family. We're all related somehow. We're all, on a spiritual level, we're all related. You know, and it's a remarkable journey we're on. You know, unfortunately, though, this is, I consider this a level 4 planet. There are 12 levels, by the way. This is a level 4 planet. And, you know, remember in high school there was the A group, the B group, and the C group? Well, you know, this level 4 planet is considered the A group. And so the souls that come here were considered mighty spiritual beings. So we said, okay, well, we can get through this. And, you know, we come here and all of a sudden you go, God, it's a lot harder. Geez, I never thought it was this hard. I never figured out that happening. Well, that's where free will comes in. And I started telling you about that a little bit before. So, you know, children pick their parents. Parents never pick their children. You know how many times I hear, well, why did I pick them? Ah, you know, the laws of cause and effect. You know, karma. Every nationality, every race, every, you can name it, has a phrase for karma. You know, what you do comes back. The laws of cause and effect. You have individual karma, you have group karma, family karma, town karma, city karma, state karma, country karma, world karma. I mean, it's just, you know, it's interesting. So, you know, we're graded. We're graded. You come in, you know, all of a sudden you pass on, you go, well, you didn't pass. Oh, I got to go back and do it again, you know. But you're given the greatest gift, and that's free will. So you have choices. Everybody has choices. And by the way, you cannot have positive without negative. I know some people believe that, you know, that there's no such thing as a negative issue or negative things. Of course there is. The entire universe is made up of positive and negative issues. Everybody who's listening to my voice knows that. And if you don't believe that, well, then I don't know what to tell you. Because everybody does. That's part of the experience. That's part of being experiential beings. You know, I want you guys to understand that. And I'm sure most of my audience knows that. And our call-in numbers here in the United States are 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And our Canadian neighbors, our phone number there is 888-810-8322. You want to sound like a radio guy? Yes, call us in here now. Canada people at 888-810-8322. Anyway, you know, I'm just a normal guy, just like all of you, you know. And I want to say one thing that I can't make more stress on. I'm sure we all know people that are very spiritual, and we also know people who stay in spirituality, totally. Well, that's fine for them, but remember, we're experiential beings. We're trying to understand what it's like to be human, so we have to have one foot here and one foot in spirituality. Understand that. You have to have one foot in each place. Why? Because it's part of the lesson, it's part of the learning process we go through. You know, it's like hiding. You can, you know, you can hide the spiritual, but you have to have one foot here. The experiential part is here. And that's what we're trying. We're, you know, we're spiritual beings trying to understand what the heck it's like to be human. You know? And then we pass on and go, God, I you know, because, you know, when the Lord said, hey, you guys want to do this? Oh, yeah, we can do it. All of a sudden, oh, man, that's too hard. Can I stop? No, you've made your decision. But as people and the connections that we have a lot of things that are in common. Hi, we have another call. May I have your name, please?
My name's Marie.
Hi, Marie. And Marie, give the month of your birth.
October.
And where are you calling from?
Canada.
Ah, you know, I just heard the weather here in Chicago. We got a snowstorm warning for 3 inches of snow.
Wow.
Where's the global warming?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, Marie. What's the month of your birth again?
October.
Okay. Marie, I got to tell you something right now that I see you as packing and unpacking boxes. Okay? That means you're coming out of a cycle. People go through, you know, everybody goes through between positive and negative cycles. All right? And the average is about 6 years. I've seen them as short as 18 months, and I've actually seen them as long as 22 years. Everybody goes through them, all right? So it's about time that as you're coming to an end of a cycle and entering into another one. So, you know, when this happens, there seems to be like a lot of loose ends and a lot of turmoil, not necessarily aggravating turmoil, but a lot of like, you know, like you've got like a bunch of mosquitoes and you're trying to swat them away, okay? Until the transition takes place. Do you have a question for me?
Not really.
Okay.
I just thought I'd give you a call.
Okay.
And have you tell me whatever it is I need to know.
Okay. You're very definitely an older soul, and you're going to be entering into more of a positive cycle. Now remember, you know, what happens is before you enter into the cycle, when you come to the end of the negative cycle, which you're at the end of now, and it doesn't mean bad and good, it's just the way situations work out, it's going to be like, just like a bunch of little aggravating little things, nothing big and major. It lasts for a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden it gets dead quiet, like nothing's going on. And then you're going to enter into a positive cycle when good things will begin to happen. Now, the most important thing people have to understand, and especially you, when good things happen, please do not say, this is too good to be true, or one or the other shoe going to drop, because you're going to slap yourself back into negativity. And by the way, your cycles are shorter. Yours are 4 years, okay? So when good things begin to happen, more so than normal, you say, thanks, it's about time, I deserve it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing about you also is the fact that it's almost as though, how can I say this? You're on the edge of a major, major transition in who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
Okay. And there, you have a lot of, you've got a few people on your side, which is good, because there is one entity or one person around you who is envious of you. Okay? That I don't like.
There's one person around me that's envious of me?
Envious of you, yeah.
Oh.
And it's a female, I can tell you that.
Okay.
That she's envious.
Is she a relative?
I beg your pardon?
Is she a relative?
Yeah, she could be.
October?
She could be. What'd you say?
Okay.
October, you said?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't mean anything. she could be a relative, you know. But the thing is, what bothers me about the envy is that it emanates negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you could tell, you know what, you could tell yourself, because when you're around this person, you know, you'll feel that they're kind of nice, but there's something behind it, they've got an angle, and the fact that you feel a little bit drained around them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You need to protect yourself from that. A couple things you can do. You can visualize them in a pink bubble. So, you know, pink is a very rendered harmless color, but you have to visualize it. Or visualize a flame of protection around yourself. You know, people thought.
I do have a question for you.
By the way, thoughts are things. Always remember that.
What's that?
Thoughts are things.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Regards to work, what is there anything in the horizon for me with regards to some kind of a job?
Were you? You have to speak up just a little bit because I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay. I'm just curious to know if there's any type of work that's coming up for me, different type of work.
Does what you're doing now, you mean?
Right.
Okay. Yes, but it won't be probably till after May, the end of May, first week in June.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Can you give me a hint?
A hint as far as what? What it's going to be?
Yeah.
It's going to be a transition totally in work and career.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be the place you work at now.
Okay.
Okay. Be a different thing. And the funny thing about it is you're not going to be really, really, really looking when it happens.
Oh, good.
Right. You need something that gives you, a little more creativity and a little more contact with people.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
I know.
Well, thank you so much, Joe.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Now, you take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, by the way, you know what? I want to tell you something. Marie?
Yeah?
I was in Sudbury, Canada.
Oh, were you?
Yes. I built a house here in America. It's the only one in America. It's a rotating dome house. And the only other one I knew of was in Sudbury.
Wow.
So I went there and looked at his, and I decided to put one here in Illinois.
Of all the places, Sudbury, Ontario.
Yes, Sudbury, Ontario. Beautiful country.
Canada is.
Yes,
I don't know about Sudbury, but...
Oh, I thought Sudbury was beautiful.
But I'm West Coast. Sorry, I'm living on the West Coast, so...
Oh, okay.
I'm a little excited.
Right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, I call it Joe Who's Rotating Dome House. I have no idea why I did this. I didn't realize it was almost impossible to get a mortgage because there were no comparables. Anybody in real estate out there? Oh, I'm sorry, there's no comparables. No, it's the only one. It was the first one in America. I think there's one in New York now, too, but this is the first one. So I moved a little bit out of the city because they would never let me put a house like this in Chicago. So I got myself a little 5-acre plot out here and I built it. Anyway. Our call-in numbers again, if you're calling for the United States, are 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And if you're Canadian, our Canadian friends and neighbors, the phone number is 888-810-8322. Hi, caller, you're on with Joe.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, how are you? May I have your first name, please?
Yes, it's Alexis.
Alexis, oh, what a beautiful name.
Well, thank you.
And Alexis, just the month of your birth.
September.
And where are you calling from?
I'm in Ontario, Canada.
Okay, not too many people tell you what to do they, Alexis?
Pardon me?
I said not too many people tell you what to do.
Well, a lot of people tell me what to do.
Well, they could try, but first of all, you're a person who can be, you're very strong. You're a lot stronger than people think you are. All right? And you're a person that how can I say this? If, let's say you're in a situation, okay, and there's a person involved, and you have a little disagreement with that person, you know, you can shut that door and not worry about it, you know?
Okay.
You're cut and dry that way. In other words, you don't have a lot of gray area. You're usually one way or the other. And one of your pet peeves is, one of the things you don't like is when people say, I'll do it, and then they not do it, or start something and don't finish. You know, that's something for some reason you can make sure they're a little raw, okay? You're a good person, and it's funny, normally you're supposed to be a very organized person, but lately you're not.
No.
Why?
I am just scattered.
I know you are.
So I called because I want to know if you could give me some insight in what I should work on clearing.
Well, you need to work on clear. Well, first of all, there's stuff around you. Well, I shouldn't say around you, because what I see most of all is here we have a person who is supposed to be independent, who is supposed to be a leader, not a follower. Okay, but you were never nurtured in that when you were young. Do you understand that?
I'm sorry, I missed that part.
You were never
nurtured. When I was young?
When you were a child, you were never nurtured in that direction.
No, I didn't.
No, you weren't. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, you know, this is usually a favorite son or daughter. You weren't. You were not.
Okay.
Okay? So, you know, the interesting thing is your abilities, your intelligence were never catered to. They were never recognized. You know, and as a child, too, you were shy. Now, don't misunderstand me. You've got a temper. If somebody pushes, you'll push back. But the scattered stuff you have around you right now is the fact that I kind of think it's almost like you're like a caged animal. You know, you need to break free of this, and I'm trying to see what's causing it. And I think what's causing it are the ropes of emotional issues that were prevalent, you know, a while ago, not right now. But there's still, what's going on is that they become ropes, they become binds with you. You're bound up within these. And you have to peel them away. You know, like an onion, you peel one layer, there's another layer, there's another layer. There's something called, let me ask you a question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember who your first grade teacher was?
My first grade teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember the name?
Was it Black or White?
No, just their name. Remember their name?
Mrs. Black or Mrs. White. I can't
okay.
remember which one.
All right, fine. Do you remember your second grade teacher?
No.
Remember your third grade teacher?
Yes, but I don't remember her name. I just hated her.
Okay. Remember your fourth grade teacher. There's a reason why I'm asking you these.
Pardon me?
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why I'm asking you these things. Okay?
I'm sorry, you're fuzzy.
All right, there's a reason why I'm asking you this.
Okay.
Okay. Do you know your fourth grade teacher's name?
Fourth?
Yes.
No, I don't remember the fourth.
Okay. All right. Now, listen. As children, we're in school. We're 9 months a year, we're in school. All right?
Mm-hmm.
When children undergo stress, you know, when they undergo traumatic incidences or stress, when they become adults, they lose memories of certain years. Okay? They only remember bits and pieces. And one of the key issues, when I ask them when they remember, you know, their teacher's names, they can't. They can remember faces. They can't remember the names. There was something going on in your life outside of you that was causing stress. And I think what I'm trying to tell you is some of the issues today are stress from way back then. Your intelligence was never catered to. There were opportunities. Then again, too, you didn't have a lot of opportunity offered you. Do you understand?
I didn't have what?
A lot of opportunity that was offered to you.
No, that's true.
You know, and after that, you became, you know, I don't, you know, you didn't give up, but you didn't fight for it. You know, your fight kind of disappeared for a while. And you need to bring your fight back. I think that's the most important thing you need to understand. You know,
okay.
you need to pull yourself up and say, you know what, I can do this. But the point is, right now, you know, it's almost like you're emotionally exhausted.
Okay.
Okay. Now, there's something called V-tree. I'm going to give you a little exercise, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's called V-tree memory, all right? One memory unlocks another. Now, I'm going to try and explain this real quick. The nerve endings, the electrons in our body travel about 252 miles an hour, believe it or not. So
mm-hmm.
if I were to ask you, and picture three little caves, like you have three caves, okay? And your memory is in each cave is a memory. So if I ask you what's your name, excuse me, you'll tell me what your name is, all right? Because that memory in the cave is fine. It's locked, you know, it's there. Let's say you and I went to a theater. You're trying to tell a friend about a movie you went and saw, okay? And what was that actor's name? It's on the tip of my tongue, and all of a sudden it pops into your mind. what happens is your brain is very efficient. If there's a memory that you don't use, it lives in that cave and kind of like a little spider web gets in front of it. All right. So eventually that little electrical impulse goes back and forth, breaks through that web, and all of a sudden has a memory. Ah, now I know what the name is. And then we have something called trauma or really, really heavy emotional issues. And in that little memory in front of that cave, it's like almost like a heavy rope netting. And the little electron can't get through that. Well, what helps unlock that or give those electrons strength is V-tree memory. In other words, if you spent maybe 10 minutes with a piece of paper and writing the events of whatever your age is today, you know, let's say if you're 50, okay, you know, spend 10 minutes and write down some of the key issues that happened while you were 50, all right? And then the next day, about 10, 15 minutes on when you were 49, and then 48. Now, it sounds like a lot of work, but what you're actually doing is strengthening up those electrons and slowly unlocking memory doors that need to be looked at, those things you can't remember that are important to help you get through today and the reasons why you're going forward and the scatteredness is existing. Now, it can be pretty boring. You know, it's like one memory unlocks the other. Oh, just see, I went to a wedding. It was Sue's wedding. Oh, what a great wedding. Memory number one. Yeah, but then did you see that one girl who made a fool of herself? Boom, memory number two. How one memory unlocks another. So it's going to be pretty boring, but as you said, when you get back to like, you know, 30s, 20s, and teens, then all these memories will come flooding through, and you'll also dream more, and you'll remember things that are important to you today to help you get through. Okay?
Okay.
All right, you take care of yourself.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You have a wonderful day.
You too.
Evening or whatever it is. I don't know what time zone you're in.
We're in Chicago. It's almost 8 o'clock at night. We're supposed to have 3 inches of snow.
Oh.
I can't believe that. The flowers are coming up.
Yeah, well, we had our snow on the weekend.
Oh, I know. You take care.
Okay, thanks.
All right,
bye.
Bye-bye. And by the way, callers, and my audience, V-tree memory is real. It's just an exercise that helps you remember things you can't. And I can remember all the teachers I have except for my fifth grade because we had like 13 substitutes. I remember the one that was supposed to be our teacher. Her name was Miss Napolitano. She was a doll, you know, but she got married. I mean, she left before even started. It was the first week she left. So I thought that was kind of, but then we had all these substitutes. I remember my kindergarten, my first grade, my second grade, my third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. Now, I know today, after a certain grade, the schools have become departmentalized. So, you know, grade school kids or middle schools. You know, when I was a kid, we had grade school and high school. They have middle school now where they go to different classes and things. We didn't have that. You know, we just had regular old high school and grade school. Anyway, I'm enjoying the show. I'm enjoying my callers, and I'm enjoying talking to you very, very much. As you listen to my show, the one thing should ring clear is I really do love people. I love people very, very much. Why? Because we're all we have. Can you picture if we could stick together and we could visualize at one time, because we're mighty spiritual beings, the events that we can change and things that we can change? You know, but there's forces out there that are keeping us scattered.
Thanks, Don.
You know? Hi, you're with Joe.
Hi, Joe. This is Leilani.
Hey, Leilani. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Okay, the month of your birth?
Oh, 4/23.
Just a month. April?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm not an astrologer. I want to hear you speak. And where are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from Arizona. I'm also a BBS radio show host as well.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Well, you're an extremely creative person. You're an extremely old soul. Okay. The one thing about you, there's one thing, Leilani, is kind of funny. You have a hard time saying no.
Oh, okay. I'm learning to say no.
Well, I hope so. Because you'll say yeah, then later on go, oh my God, I should have said that. How do I get out of this? You know?
Yeah.
So you get yourself in situations you never intend to get them into. And by the way, you are an inadvertent mediator. You get in the middle of things you never intend to get in the middle of. You know what? That's been with you since high school, actually since grade school.
Yes, since I can remember second grade watching a classmate of mine getting beat up, and I jumped right in and said, this is not going to happen today.
That's right.
And been friends ever since.
And isn't that amazing? And that's obviously a past life connection. But, you know, it's you collect people.
Oh, no. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Well, it is a good thing. It is a good thing. Obviously, people like you, you know, but you're learning to say no. Yeah, that's one thing, and not feel guilty about it. You know, you want to help everybody, and then so do I. I love people, and I have a hard time saying no, but I've come to realize that I'd love to, but I can't. I really can't.
Yes, the people that I interacted with yesterday started finding out that I was establishing borders and saying, no, I can't do that.
Well, the one person was draining you. Did you feel that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, did you feel that?
Oh, you bet I did. And I just said, you know what? Go work on your own energy.
That's right. That's right. You know, people don't realize, you know, there are energy zappers and energy vampires, and I'm sure you know both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you can always tell when they're around you because of the feeling. You know, all of a sudden you can't concentrate on what they're saying. You feel fatigued. You think maybe you're hungry, you need something, you know, but as you identify it, you know, when you become attuned to it, you identify it as, you know, I've got to put up a border here.
Yes. Well, I wanted to say hello to you more than anything and welcome you to BBS Radio.
Well, thank you so very much.
It was your voice that drew me in, and I said, I've got to talk to this man.
Well,
so
thank
I
you.
Truly thank you and honor you.
Thank you so much, Lonnie.
All right.
You
have
take
a good
care.
Night. You too.
All right. Bye-bye. You know, we're coming to the end of the hour, so I really had a remarkable time. Boy, it went by fast. People, you can check out my website, which is just johu.com. It's all one word, johu.com. And my office number is there, when you get a chance, check it out, all right? And as the weeks go by, maybe we'll increase our time and do a little bit longer show, and we'll talk about some concepts and things that I've experienced in my life and things that we need to know. In 1986, I started telling people about this time in our future, that things are going to be really, really tough. We'll get through it, but they're going to be tough before we come out of it. And this has nothing to do with governments. This has nothing to do, you know, this is beyond governments. You have to understand that. There's a battle going on here, and it's a spiritual battle. And we're going to be victorious, but boy, it's going to be tough. So we need to stick together. We need to do that very, very much. And am I concerned? Yes. Of course I'm concerned. You know? I look at all my brothers and sisters out there, you know, and I look at the ones that were, like I said, we're all part of the same family. You know, at least the good ones are, right? You know what? There's no such thing as a perfect person. Well, there is, but he doesn't live here, you know. I mean, because we're human, we're going to be experienced. And we're also going to be vulnerable to all the things the human flesh is heir to. And God knows that, you know. That's part of it. The enticements. That's just a very enticing place. You have to try and transcend that. And there'll be things we'll be talking about in the future, tell you little exercises to do, and some interesting little tidbits of information that you don't have to take my word for it, but you can check it out yourself. So as we go on. So it's going to be me talking to you and taking your calls and telling you little things that I've learned in my entire life. And by the way, for those of you good in mathematics, I graduated high school in 1967. Okay, give you some idea of how old I am. And by the way, on my website, yes, that's my picture. No, I don't dye my hair, and no, I don't wear a wig. People think that. I don't know why, okay? Anyway, everybody, I thank you so very, very much. Again...